Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Rapper NBA Youngboy is not in a great place right now after just being arrested on a slew of new charges, including identity fraud, all while he's on house arrest in Utah on other charges. We're going to talk about what is going on here with attorney and hip-hop legal expert Afi Patterson. Welcome to Sidebar, presented by Law & Crime. I'm Jesse Weber. We have been focusing on a lot of hip-hop stories here on Sidebar, and now we got another one for you that actually might have a connection to one of our bigger trials that we covered. I'm talking about rapper Youngboy, Never Broke Again, or NBA Youngboy. Well, he has just found himself in a lot of hot water after he was arrested out in Utah. The artist, whose real name is Kentrell Galden, has been booked into the Cache County Jail on a number of charges. In fact, according to jail records, the listed charges are pattern of unlawful activity, procuring or attempting to procure drug prescriptions, identity fraud, forgery, possession of other controlled substances, possession of a dangerous weapon by a restricted person. Now, KUTV2 News out in Utah, remember Brian Schnee? Talked a lot with him and his associates during the Ruby Frankie case. Well, they have reported that Youngboy is actually looking at potentially 63 formal charges, this according to an arrest affidavit. And according to this arrest affidavit, this is pursuant to, quote, a large-scale prescription fraud ring in which people would call in fraudulent prescriptions under the names of actual real doctors, but then they would use fake patient names with fake information. There's an allegation that when it became known this investigation was happening into this scheme, that someone apparently called law enforcement pretending to be a, quote, Gwendolyn Cox, who wanted to speak with a deputy but really wouldn't provide a lot of information. According to the affidavit, quote, Gwendolyn sounded as though she was a much younger male from the southern states. Gwendolyn made a statement, well, I asked her too, and she said that she'll have you call me. This statement was a response to a request that was made to have Gwendolyn contact dispatch and have them transfer a call back through. I've lived in the southern United States. The terminology in replacing the word ask with axe or other variations is considered with a southern dialect in states such as Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, and other southern states. Now, according to KUTV, what apparently happened in the end was multiple people were arrested when allegedly Youngboy's car was being used to pick up one of these fraudulent prescriptions. It was pulled over, marijuana, a weapon, multiple prescription bottles were found in the car. The arrest affidavit says, quote, according to the FBI, Kentrell is the known leader of a violent gang from the Louisiana area. Based on Kentrell's history, it is apparent that he's prone to violence. Based on the totality of the circumstances, a no-bail hold is requested to be placed on Kentrell, pending a detainer to be obtained by federal prosecution for his current case. Now, that in and of itself would be concerning. But here is the problem for Youngboy as well. He was on house arrest. He is waiting to go on trial on separate federal firearms charges after allegedly illegally having guns back in September of 2020 in Louisiana during a music video shoot when multiple people were arrested on gun and narcotics charges. For Youngboy, it is currently illegal for him to possess firearms because he is a convicted felon. He was convicted of aggravated assault back in 2017. However, little interesting side note, Youngboy's legal team, they're actually awaiting a big Supreme Court decision on the Second Amendment that may rule it unconstitutional to bar felons from possessing handguns or possessing guns. His trial appears to have been paused for now till we get a decision from the Supreme Court. But by the way, for our Sidebar listeners, you might be saying, why does NBA Youngboy sound so familiar? Well, that could be because he was brought up during an interview we did regarding the YNW Melly case. Remember we interviewed Melly's ex-girlfriend, Mariah Hamilton, and her mother, Felicia Holmes? You might recall that Melly is charged with the murders of his friends, YNW Juvie and YNW Sack Chaser. The prosecution alleged that Melly and his associate, YNW Bortland, shot and killed the men, then staged the scene to look like a drive-by. Melly's first trial ended in a mistrial. He's awaiting a new trial. We actually learned that the death penalty has been taken off the table for now. But anyway, we interviewed Hamilton and Holmes, and whether there was another explanation for what happened here, well, they brought up this alleged altercation between Melly and NBA Youngboy. Take a look.
I think that something pissed somebody off. I think Melly would have gotten shot too. I think he maybe was a target as well, and probably still is.
Any reason to think that other than any?
Well, like I said, my daughter was just in. They just got jumped. They had just gotten jumped in Atlantic Records, I think, in LA. It was Atlantic Records by NBA Youngboy and a whole bunch of guys. That just happened. And my daughter has a scar across her back about this long from the scuffle, from the fight, you know.
What was that like, Mariah?
I was terrified. I thought I was going to lose my life that day, honestly. It happened so quickly. It happened so quickly. Like, within a blink of an eye, we had just got to the studio, and they all just started arguing and fighting. And next thing you know, we're getting jumped by so many guys. And I'm trying to shield and protect Melly. And the guys are not trying to hit me, but I'm literally
in the middle,
trying to lay on top of him just to like guard him.
When was this? How soon before the shooting was this?
I think this was like in August of 2018. August
about
or September.
A month or so before the murders.
Yeah, it was like August or September of 2018.
Someone took his chain or something. They took his chain.
Yeah, his chain fell and they took it.
They gave it back.
Like what started that?
We were outside and we were pulling up to the studio, and his friend Melly's Zach was like, there go NBA Youngboy. So we're like, oh yeah, that is NBA Youngboy. So we like, I feel like we're gonna get into it with him. So I'm just praying, like, God, please don't let us get into it with these people. Like, I hope not. So as we walk into the studio, give Melly a look, like he sighs, and so Zach, like, what's up? Like, you straight or whatever? And he's like, he was like, yeah, I'm good or whatever. Then he just started saying stuff. And then Zach ended up saying something back to him. And then Melly was like, what's up? And he swung on Melly. They fought. And then the guys started jumping in. Everybody just started jumping in. I tried to jump on top of Melly to, like, guard him. It was just a big scuffle, honestly. Like, it was bad. It was horrible.
Did police ever look into this?
No.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But now, Youngboy is arrested on these new charges out in Utah while on house arrest. Again, don't know a ton of more details about this, but let me bring on Afi Patterson, trial attorney, rap, hip-hop legal expert to talk about this. Afi, good to see you. So first, let's start off. Do you have some sort of connection to Youngboy, or am I completely off base there?
You are spot on. I'm a Baton Rouge girl, born and raised in Louisiana, living in LA right now. And I was talking with my husband last night about it, because I remember we had mentioned him before when we were talking about his music. And he said, I think he was at the same school that I taught with, because, you know, my husband and I originally met in Baton Rouge when he was, during his Teach for America days. So we kikied about that a while ago and again last night. But yeah, the connection is Baton Rouge. I'm a Baton Rouge girl through and through, and proud, love it. And yeah.
Well, what can you tell us before we get into the legal details? What can you tell us about Youngboy's reputation in the industry?
I think he's got a reputation for making music that goes viral. He's really popular with, I think, probably age groups beginning in middle school, maybe a little bit younger, up through 45, 47, 48, 49. He's got just a wide swath of people that enjoy his music. And he's just really layered, if you can imagine that, layered and rich in his music. So, yeah.
Hey, I just want to take a sidebar from sidebar for a second to talk about something completely different. We are in this whole new culture right now where we are finally recognizing how important it is to eat clean, to use clean products, because it's like every day we learn these new studies and analysis that are finding out some very alarming things. Like apparently we're eating and drinking roughly a credit card's worth of plastic a week, microplastics, that most cleaning formulas are 90% water and lead to excessive carbon emissions, and they're often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. Yeah, well, that is why I am so excited to talk to you about Blue Land. Now, here's the thing. I was actually using Blue Land even before they became a sponsor. That's how much I believe in what they're doing, how much I love what they're doing. Their goal is to eliminate single-use plastics, and their containers and their bottles have this really cool, sleek design. Looks great on my counter. In fact, I have their hand soap, pods for the laundry, toilet, dishwasher. I have their bathroom cleaners, glass cleaners. My whole house is filled with Blue Land stuff, and it's all made with clean ingredients. I got to tell you, I love the idea that I'm using something that's not only better for me and my family and the planet, but it takes care of the job. I'm not sacrificing quality or efficiency. You just fill up the container with water, you drop in the tablet, ready to go, does a fantastic job. I don't have to go out and buy bulky cleaning supplies anymore. And it is so easily refillable, by the way. Refills, they start at just $2.25. I am saving so much money on this. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. Maybe not that surprising that Blue Land is in over 1 million homes, including mine. So right now, Blue Land has a special offer for Sidebar's audience. Right now, you can get 15% off of your first order by going to blueland.com/sidebar. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/sidebar for 15% off. That's blueland.com/sidebar to get 15% off. Hope you check it out. When I talked about these charges that he's now facing, when I've talked a little bit about his criminal history, when I've talked about the fact that, I mean, let me give everybody an idea here. Pattern of unlawful activity, that charge, it consists of engaging in conduct which constitutes the commission of at least three episodes of unlawful activity, which episodes are not isolated but have the same or similar purposes, results, participants, victims, or methods of commission, or otherwise interrelated by distinguishing characteristics. They talked about this as an ongoing major fraudulent scheme. Does this consistent with the image, the persona that he's put forward?
I would say no. So I think that, you know, when I looked at the charges, and how about this? Yesterday I spoke with his attorney, and some things that we talked about basically were procedurally what he's been facing. And he just basically told me how he's kind of been railroaded. And when I went back to look at the charges, these are just, I think, run-of-the-mill charges that I would see every day, and they'd be related to smaller things like guns, you know, incidents when he'd be with other people. And basically how it goes is when you're with a lot of people and let's say there's some drugs in the area or
are you talking about the new charges he's facing, or are you talking about the old charges, the firearms charges?
Everything. I'm starting with the old, and I was going to the new charges.
Okay. Because just wanted to be clear. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you want me to stick to the new charges, you know, I don't know very much about the new charges. But what I do know is, just looking at his history and being in Utah and being in isolation, I think he's talked a lot about his mental health. And I think he's talked about, you know, a possible addiction. So I don't necessarily look at this as from a criminal point or aspect. I think that, you know, this country over the last 12 years, we've looked at people who have addictions with a lot of sympathy, and we've looked at them as people who need help and not to be criminalized. So I think that's the approach and the lens that I'm looking at it with right now.
But these are serious charges, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they're serious charges. Everything sounds serious when it's written down and before you've had an opportunity to refute it or defend yourself. So, you know, the first thing I heard you mentioned earlier, he's supposedly leading a violent gang. How do you do that from Utah? How do you lead a violent gang in Baton Rouge from Utah? That just seems fantastical and like a super impossibility.
Well, their argument would be, we've just charged him with operating this kind of prescription fraud scheme. And if he's able to do it under house arrest, who knows what he might be able to do from the confines of a home. That's their argument. That would be prosecutor's argument, I would imagine.
Is it a prescription fraud scheme, or is it an attempt by someone who has a mental health issue to acquire something to help him self-medicate?
And let's talk about that, because it really, I think, comes back to the house arrest. And let's talk about the house arrest. So he actually agreed to this house arrest in Utah, where he's under the constant surveillance of this security team. But it reportedly hasn't been that great for him. The reason I say that is he apparently posted on his cat, whose name is Neon, his cat Neon's Instagram page back in July of 2023. It said, quote, "It's me, Neon. I've been seeing a lot. My dad's so unhealthy. It's scary, even his mental. He blows his money, making people smile who don't care to see the signs that's literally in their face. 20 Xanax a day. Please, hashtag help." His lawyer then filed papers suggesting that young boy had been suffering from anxiety, depression, weight and sleep loss. A federal judge ended up loosening some of those restrictions on his house arrest, allowing him to get mental health treatment, but wouldn't allow him to spend more time at the recording studio, even though his team had argued that this is significantly hurting his career and sales of his music. But then 2 months ago, prosecutors accused him of violating the terms of his house arrest, specifically the prohibition on using or unlawfully possessing a narcotic drug or other controlled substance. So that's kind of a basic framework of what we're talking about with his house arrest. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, you just read the message from Neon, the cat, who said his dad needs help.
Do you think it was the cat? I mean, do you think it was the cat that wrote it? Because I have my suspicions. But if you think it was the cat, you think it's the cat.
I mean, well, you told me it was the cat. So
I did say it was the cat's Instagram.
And the cat said, the cat said his dad needs help. You know, cat said his dad's on 20 Xanax a day.
I have some questions for that cat, but yes.
What does the cat know? But also, he's not able to go to the studio like he wants to. You know, Jesse, you're a creative. I'm a creative. You know, creatives need an outlet. They need stimulation. If you're on house arrest, you're in a gilded cage. You don't have a regimen. You don't have regular interaction. You don't have a creative outlet. I think he's been crying out for a long time that he's been depressed and he needs help, and he doesn't have the tools or the capacity to handle that.
Well, let's also talk about this from a legal point of view. He just was hit with all of these charges, or he's about to be formally indicted on these charges. I imagine house arrest is now going to be out of the question. Would I be crazy to think that?
I think, again, his attorney, James Manassa, is fantastic. He's got a rich history. I've known him for a while. He's argued before the United States Supreme Court, and I think he's on his way out there to figure out what's going on. And I think that house arrest is definitely not out of the question. I think that
You think he's going to get house arrest after now being hit with all these charges? How is that possible?
I think it's not out of the question. And again, he's got a fantastic legal team. So, you know, anything is possible. And again,
but one of the main conditions of a house arrest is don't commit crimes while you're on house arrest, or don't be, you know, charged or arrested while you're on house arrest. I mean, that's a problem, I would imagine. Has his attorney said, don't worry about these charges. This is nothing. This is chalked up. We're going to get him back in Utah on house arrest, out in his home. Nothing to worry about. Did he say anything like that?
No, he's not revealed that to me, but me just looking at the charges and looking at what Neon, again, has said about his dad, to me, this looks like an opportunity for the feds to come in and get a conviction. And can I say get their lick back from his jury trial in L.A. where he was found not guilty for another federal charge. And I think
another firearms charge.
I think they've been looking for him to do something, and they've been looking to get him on something, and this is their opportunity.
Is there anything you can share with what his attorney told you about his current legal status, about what we should be thinking about it? Is there anything he told you about how he might be fighting back against this, or what a defense could be?
Not anything that I'm willing to reveal, but
sure,
I think that it's important. It's important to, you know, they're thinking about the Supreme Court case that's coming out where, as you mentioned earlier.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because this is very significant. The Supreme Court and this decision could basically affect whether or not those federal charges he's facing stick. they could potentially be thrown out. The reason I say that is because the Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case or deciding a case about whether people, and this is my understanding, with domestic violence protection orders should be barred from having guns. Well, NBA Youngboy has expanded that argument to say that a firearms ban for convicted felons in general is unconstitutional, that convicted felons have a Second Amendment right to bear arms. And he cites a major Supreme Court decision from 2022 that struck down a New York handgun licensing law that created all these special requirements to possess a handgun outside of the home. That was a big win for Second Amendment advocates. Now, prosecutors in Youngboy's case say, not so fast, that the ban on convicted felons carrying guns, that has been in place. That has been utilized dozens and dozens of times. In fact, since that 2022 Supreme Court decision, and then a majority of courts across the country have enforced this prohibition. So you tell me what we can expect from the Supreme Court there and whether or not it's going to have an effect on Youngboy's federal charges.
I'm just glad that the Supreme Court has taken this up and is looking into it, because a lot of times I would have, I remember I had, an elderly man, he had a felony conviction, something he pled guilty to, I thought was pretty minor, but a lot of times people take felony pleas to avoid prison time. And he couldn't possess a gun. And a lot of times, especially in Louisiana, it's a hunting and fishing state. So just, the opportunity to not even be able to hunt like you usually would because you're a felon in possession of a handgun, felon in possession of a gun. So I'm glad it's an issue. Also, a lot of these felonies are nonviolent felonies. So I don't understand how you can remove the right to possess a gun from somebody just because they are convicted of a felony. But we're going to just only address the issue with domestic violence, which is a crime of violence. It's in the name. So
I wonder if they keep it very narrow and say we're just going to focus. Yeah. I think that's probably what the Supreme Court will do. We'll decide the issue with domestic violence orders and maybe not generalize it over or expand it to convicted felons. That's my guess, but we'll wait and see. Afi Patterson, really interesting case. We'll continue to follow it, see what develops, but appreciate your insight. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And that is all we have for you here on Sidebar, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jesse Weber. I'll speak to you next time.